appreciate that good singing tonight. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter number 30. Thank you, Brother Todd. Appreciate you being able to be here and play tonight. I wasn't expecting on having you or Ashley. I really didn't think I'd be here either. But sure is good to be able to be back tonight. I'll try not to keep you long. Sister Shelley has cooked a big supper for me and my wife, so I'm anxious to see what she's got. Amen. As long as it ain't chicken liver, we'll like it. Amen. But, hallelujah. Chicken liver's for catfish, not for me. Genesis chapter number 30. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture tonight. Probably more of a Bible lesson than a sermon tonight. So I want you to listen up very carefully, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. In Genesis chapter number 30, let's pick up at verse number 27. Genesis chapter 30. Are y'all there? Say amen. The Bible said, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. I want to look at the last part of that little phrase and the last part of that verse again. Laban looks at Jacob and says that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. You ought to underline that little phrase in your Bible. In verse 28, he said, appoint me thy wages, and I'll give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? Let me give you the background just a little bit for this story right here. This is a story about Jacob, and he's been sent out by his father Isaac to find a bride. And back in chapter number 28, and he comes to the daughters of Laban. And on the way, Jacob, who has been thus far, he's a thief and a crook. He's a schemer and a plotter. He's a con artist, if you will. But he has a face-to-face meeting with the Lord, and his life is changed forever. I mean, God does. You don't meet God face-to-face and not have your life changed. Amen. You don't meet God in a supernatural way and your life not changed significantly. When I met Christ, He changed my life significantly, and He will yours also, and He did Jacob's. Now, let's see. In chapter 29, Jacob meets Rachel. And brother, Rachel was a hottie, to say the least. He saw that girl and he said, wow, man, that's who I want right there. That's my bride. I'll do whatever it takes to get her. So he goes and asks her father's hand in marriage. You know what daddy said? Tell you what, you can marry my daughter if you'll work for me for 7 years. He must have really liked her because he didn't even think about it. He said, got yourself a deal. Now, I can't imagine my mother-in-law, my father-in-law was already passed away, but I remember the first time I took Sister Angie out, if I'd have went over there to get her and pick her up, I can't imagine my mother-in-law coming out and saying, wait a minute, before you can take out my daughter, you got to work for me for 7 years. I love my wife. I probably would have done it, honey, probably so. Amen. Boy, that thinned out some of them boyfriends, wouldn't it? Hey, dads, that may not be a bad idea. You want to date my daughter? Cut my grass for the next 7 years. Amen. We'll see how interested they are. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, work for me for 7 years and you can marry my daughter, Rachel. So you know what Jacob did? Jacob held up his end of the deal, didn't he? And he worked 7 years. Now, this blows my mind, and I don't know how it could ever happen, but Rachel had an ugly sister named Leah. And she was older. And it came time for Jacob to get his bride, and they got the tent set up for the honeymoon, and they tell Jacob, just go on in there, boy. We'll send her in there to you. Well, he wakes up the next morning after the honeymoon, and it ain't Rachel at all. It's Leah. It's one of them deals where he rolled over in the bed and went, ah! Hey, man. So he woke up the next morning and found out what he worked for wasn't what he got.
Yeah.
Amen. So he goes back to his father-in-law or to Laban and he says, look, man, you ripped me off. I worked 7 whole years and I got the bad end of the deal. I didn't want Leah, I wanted Rachel. And daddy said, well, it's our custom, you know, and it's just kind of how we do things. The oldest is supposed to marry first, and it wouldn't have been right if you still want Rachel, by the way. 7 more years and you can have her. This idiot agrees to it. And he worked 7 more years. He must have really loved her. I mean, I get to heaven, I'm just going to ask the Lord, I want to see what Rachel looks like. Hey, man, I just want to see what she looks like, man. She must have been something else. Boy, that boy worked 14 years. Hey, man. And during the process of that 14 years, what Jacob did was made Laban rich. I think there was an ulterior motive in Laban not allowing Jacob to leave there. Jacob said, when I came, your cattle was little, but now they're a lot. Laban even said to Jacob, the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Isn't that something? I want you to think about that just a little bit tonight. God begins to bless Jacob with children who will later become known as the 12 tribes of Israel. You got to understand here now, listen to me carefully, this story is not about this man Laban. Laban is a byproduct of the story we're reading tonight. He is not the main character in the story. God has a big picture. God has a big plan in mind. From this boy Jacob, God is going to bring about the 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, boy, he has big plans for this guy, and Laban just seems to be in his path. Are you listening? And we have read in verses 27 through 30, Jacob is ready to take his family and everything that he's amassed unto himself and his herd and head out on his own to follow the will of God and to establish the Jewish nation as we'll know it throughout the rest of the Old Testament. So Jacob's been with Laban for at least 14 years. And I want you to notice carefully. I'm just going to repeat this a couple of times. I want you to notice what Laban says in verse number 27. He said, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. He said, I want you to stay. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Again, you need to understand that Jacob is a part of God's big plan. This story is not about in any way about Laban. But what I want to preach just for a few minutes tonight, because of Laban, or because of Jacob's path crossing with Laban, because of that introduction that was made, that relationship that came between the two of them, because of that, Laban's life was greatly blessed. Would you agree with that? That's why he didn't want him to leave. I was poor when you came and now I'm rich. He said, would you stay a while? He said, the reason I want you to stay around is because ever since you've been around here, God's been mighty good to us. Amen. Here's the thought I want to preach to you tonight. Lord, make my life a blessing. Lord, make my life a blessing. You know what? As we go through this Christian life, if you're anything like me, we are, for the most part, selfish. Nine times out of ten, the things we do is for some self-gain. Would you agree? Me included. What do I get out of it? But every now and then, if we'll live our lives in the will of God and just do the will of God, hey, we're going to wind up making or being a blessing to somebody even when we're not trying. Jacob didn't go down there and say, look, man, I want to be a blessing to this guy Laban. I really want to bring good fortune to his house and I want to be a blessing to this guy. No, I want his daughter. Jacob had no plans of going down there to make Laban rich. But because he was there and because he had favor with God, God blessed everything he did. And in that, God blessed Laban.
Amen.
Did you know sometimes your life can be a blessing to others on accident?
Yeah.
Even when you're not even trying. We're going to take up a love offering to help a family here in a few minutes.
And you will on purpose reach in your wallet or in your checkbook and give a little money to be a help and a blessing to somebody. Now that's a blessing on purpose. But I wonder how often you're a blessing just because of who you are. Just because of your character, just because of your demeanor, just because of the spirit that you have about you. I wonder how often that our life is a blessing. Hey, I wonder how many people would say tonight, my life is blessed because I know you. That's a serious thought, isn't it? My life is more because you've crossed my path. Amen? Wow, that's something else, ain't it? Go to Genesis chapter 39. I want us to look at this little principle right here tonight, just for a few minutes. Genesis chapter number 39. No deep, deep theological thought, just simple tonight. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be a blessing to other people. I mean, I'd like to have millions to give. I'd like to be like old Russell Anderson. Me and him talked on the phone one day, and I was telling him about the property and all this stuff, and he got an old deep voice, and he said, well, Bro White, what you need is a sack full of money. I said, that's why I'm talking to you, amen. He didn't come off of it. He gave it all to John Jenkins or somebody else. He didn't give it to me, amen. I'd love to have that. I'd love to be able to do that and just go around and just give people sacks of money. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But you know what? I don't have that opportunity. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have money sewed up in my mattress. I can't be a blessing that way. But I can be a blessing by just allowing the will of God to be done in and through my life. Amen. Genesis chapter number 39. Now watch this. Verse number 1. The Bible said, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And y'all know what's going on here, right? Joseph had been sold by his brothers. They threw him in the pit, but this caravan came along and they sold him into slavery. And then they sell him down to Potiphar. The Bible said, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. The Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass that from the time, now watch verse number 5, it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord, watch this, blessed the Egyptian's house. Didn't say that he just blessed Joseph. The Bible said that he blessed the Egyptian's house. Now stay with me right here. That is not a picture of a Christian. That is a picture of a lost man. He's an Egyptian, amen? He's not a spiritual man, but did God bless him? Sure he did. He blessed the Egyptian's house. Watch this, next little phrase. Why? Say it with me. For Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Wow. Now think about that just for a second. This is a great story. Again, we understand that this story is not really about Potiphar. It's not about this man. It's not about him at all. Y'all got to understand, when he bought Joseph, he was just buying another slave. Just another slave. And by the way, Joseph wasn't the only one he had. This wasn't the first. Hey, man, this guy was a captain of Pharaoh's guard. He was a big shot. He had more than one slave. He had bought and sold slaves before, no doubt. He saw Joseph was a young man, strong, had a good back, and could probably work. He didn't buy Joseph so he could get a blessing. And Joseph didn't serve in his house so he could get a blessing. You know what Joseph was doing? You know what Joseph was doing? He was just dreaming that dream, brother. He was just dreaming that dream. He was just trying to stay faithful to God and do what God told him to do. And because of what he did, hey, the Bible said that God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And not only his house, but even his fields. Everything he had, God touched and blessed because Joseph came into his life. Yeah. Amen. You know what I bet that guy said? I bet that guy, Potiphar, I bet he said, man, I've bought slaves before. Man, Brother Freddie, I've had some humdingers, man. I've had them could pick cotton all day long. I've had them could hold corn from daylight till dark. I've had some strong men. I've had some women that could cook. But I didn't know what I was getting when I bought old Joe. Boy, I'm sure glad Joe came up on the auction block. I'm glad I bidded that one more time. I'm glad I gave that extra dollar, that shekel or whatever it was, and got old Joseph in my house, because since he's been here, God has blessed me richly. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All because God allowed Joseph to cross paths with Potiphar. Potiphar was blessed. Has your life ever been touched and blessed just because God allowed you to be acquainted with somebody? You think about that thing tonight. This simple thought probably won't have you weeping on the altar, but it'll give you something to think about tonight. Amen? Wow. Potiphar's not the big picture. Saving his people, that's the big picture. The famine's the big picture. The house of Israel is the big picture. But I want us to carry this thing just a little bit further. Here again, we see God's blessing coming to somebody who wasn't even really seeking. It was just simply because somebody came into their lives who was trying to be faithful to God and being used by God. Now I want you to look down to chapter number, 41. In chapter number 41, I didn't write the verse down. Maybe it's let's see, verse number 54. Let me see if I can find it right quick. There you go. Yeah, if you remember right, now Joseph was in prison after he left Potiphar's house, and this baker and his butler had a dream, and he interpreted them dreams. A couple years went by, and they sent and got Joseph, and he told Pharaoh what his dream was. Y'all remember? He said, there's going to be 7 good years. He said, during these 7 good years, he said, man, you need to put up everything you can, because after that, there's going to be 7 7 years of famine, drought. And they did what Joseph said, and they made Joseph ruler over everything. So now the 7 bad years has come up. And look at verse number 54, I believe it was. The Bible said, in the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph has said. And dearth was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt, watch what it said, there was bread. Now, stay with me. We found out that because a man bought a slave, his home was blessed. Because he bought this slave, Joseph, he had no idea what was fixing to happen. But because this man came into his life, everything he had in his fields were blessed. No idea when he laid on his bunk in his prison cell and interpreted the dreams of that baker and that butler, no idea that just this boy who could interpret dreams, that the whole nation was going to be blessed. All of Egypt had bread. All of Egypt had bread. Why? Because Joseph came. Simply because Joseph was there. Had Joseph not came, they'd all be starving just like the rest of the world. Amen. Let's carry this just a little bit further. 7 years, and the Lord blessed the whole land. But not only Egypt was blessed because of Joseph's presence. Look at verse number 57. Watch this. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Not only was Potiphar's house blessed, not only was the land of Egypt blessed, he said that all countries, and what that's referring to is what me and you would call the Middle East. That entire region of the world was blessed because of one man. Wow, isn't that something? Over and over, for his sake, for his sake, for his sake. Go to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. Y'all okay tonight? Are you sitting there wondering if your life's been a blessing to somebody? Are you wondering if anybody could ever say, I've been blessed because I've been around you? Man, I get around some Christians, I want to go home and take a bath. Amen. I get around some preachers, buddy, and I just get in a foul mood. But boy, there's some I get around that I can honestly say, boy, my life been blessed because we crossed paths. Amen. Joshua chapter number 6. Levi, would you do me a favor and run back to my office and get that folder with those pictures in it, that big folder. Bring that to me, please. Joshua chapter 6. I want us to look at verse number 23. You know they've sent the spies in to check out Jericho and the land of Canaan. The Bible said in verse 23, and they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan. I'm in the wrong place. I'm in chapter 7. I thought that wasn't looking right, man. I kept reading. I thought maybe to get there in a minute. Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 23. Let me try this one more time. Yeah, here we go. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Think about this for a minute. How many know what Rahab was? Rahab was a harlot. That's not a nice name. That's not a nice title. That's not something anybody wants to be known as. But they'd sent those spies in earlier and she hid them. And they told her, said, when we come in to take this city, you hang a scarlet thread out the window and you and your house will be saved. Now, I imagine before they came in to take that city, I doubt Rahab's mama was running around town showing off pictures. Now, this is my son right here, and he's a lawyer, and this is my daughter, and she's a nurse, and this is our other daughter, and we're so proud of her. She's a harlot. Yeah. I doubt Rahab was really a big blessing to her family, do you? I bet she got cold shoulders at family reunion. I bet she wasn't somebody that the family was just real fond of or even real, real glad that they were even associated with her. But what about the end of this story? What about the end of this story? I bet by the end of it, it said her mother, her father, all her kindred, and all that she had. Boy, I bet they as glad Rahab was part of their family then. Oh, thank God she ain't what she used to be, man. I guarantee you they said, man, I don't know what happened to old Rahab. She used to be a harlot and she used to sell herself to men. But because she's in our family, we're alive. Just because she's a part of our lives, we have life. Amen? Wow, isn't that something to think about? That's pretty wild, isn't it? Story don't stop there with Rahab, though, does it? You'll find her in the lineage, son. Wow, isn't that a blessing? I ask you again. Could anybody say my life has been enriched or blessed because I know you? Serious thought. Now listen, I'm not saying tonight that we need to go out and just break our necks to be a blessing to everybody. But I'm saying the way we live our lives. Our character, our manner, our spirit. Yes. We ought to be a blessing to people we come in contact with without even trying. Yes, sometimes we think that serving God is we've always got to go out and do this and do this and do that. No, we just got to fulfill that big picture. Whatever that big picture is in my life or God's will for my life, I just want to go about doing that and pray that along the way I can be a blessing to Him and to Him and to Him and to her and to her. Amen. I wonder if there's some people who look at you and go, I wish I'd never met him. I wish I'd never known her. Well, it got quiet right there. Yeah. My. You see, Rahab, her family was blessed. All because she was playing a role in God's big picture. Period. Her family was blessed on accident. Potiphar's house and his fields were blessed on accident. That ain't why Joseph was there. Laban's whole family, Laban's whole riches, his everything that he owned was blessed on accident. Jacob didn't go to be a blessing to Potiphar. Amen. Let's go one more and I'll quit. Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. Y'all still okay tonight? I know it's a little different, but it'd be a help to you. Acts chapter number 27. I hope you know what's going on there in Acts chapter number 27. Look at verse number 13 of Acts 27. You know, Paul has Paul's went and got himself a ticket on a ship, and he tells them that they shouldn't sail because the storm's coming. Look at verse 13 and 14 of Acts chapter 27. The Bible said, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." Boy, they're in trouble. Look at verse number 18. Jump down to 18. "And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee and all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." When Paul came along, these people thought he was just another passenger on the ship, and they could use the extra money. You understand that? This storm is not the result of God's anger with the men on this ship like it was in the story of Jonah. You got to understand, these men were going to sail regardless, whether Paul had been on the ship or not. But Paul happened to be on the ship. They would have faced that storm with or without Paul. Paul told them, said, "Hey, I told you not to sail." He said, "But be of good cheer." He said, "The angel whom I serve stood by me this night and said, I've given you the ship and all the men in it." Why? Because you got to stand before Caesar. "Because I've got a goal for your life. I'm going to save the life of all these men." Wow. As they washed up on the shore at Melita and they kindled them boys a fire, you reckon Paul was a hero? "I didn't know who this guy was when he got on our boat. Didn't really care much. We just took his money and set sail. But brother and sister, I sure am glad he was sailing with us. Had it not been for that guy, our lives would have been doomed." Their lives were blessed, all because they crossed paths with a man named Paul. Little did they know. They had no idea what great evangelists they were hauling. They had no idea what power of God rested on the man that got on their boat. They had no idea. But by the end of the story, they did. By the end of the story, they did. Lord, this is my prayer tonight. Make my life a blessing. The principle of our story is this. Our life should be a blessing to others. I don't mean just when we go out of our way to do something for somebody like this love offering tonight. I mean that you should be living your life as best you can in the will of God. We ought to strive to be playing our part in God's big picture, His eternal plan. Amen. And then by doing so, bring blessings to those around us. Now I know that as we live for God, there'll be folks that we offend and people that don't like us. It's tough. It's just that way. But each of these people we read about tonight experienced the same thing. There ought to be some folks in our life that stand at our funeral and say, "My life was touched because my life crossed paths with that man." There are several people in my life that I could honestly tell you my life has been greatly, greatly enriched because I met them. I showed this to some of you this morning. Most of you are looking at that picture and you have no idea who you're looking at. It's Brother Earl Hughes. He's just an old mountain preacher. He's laying in a nursing home tonight up in North Georgia in McKaysville. He's had a massive stroke and he'll never preach again. Brother Daniel Waters went by to see him the other day and he stopped at the nurse's station and he said, "Ma'am, do y'all have a preacher here by the name of Earl Hughes?" She said, "Oh yeah, he's in room such and such." He said, "Ma'am, are you aware what a hero you have in your hospital?" She said, "Earl?" He said, "Ma'am, he's known all over the world. He's been a blessing to people all over this country and other countries. You have no idea who's laying in your hospital. It won't be long. I'll have to attend his funeral. And I'll have to walk by his casket, Brother Greg, and I'll have to say, 'God, thank you for letting me cross paths with that man.'" We were staying in the same place together where we were preaching one time. We were staying in the home of a couple, and we shared a bathroom. He had a room on one side, and I had a room on the other. About 5 o'clock one morning, I never will forget it. Somebody was knocking at my door. Y'all just got to know how Brother Earl is. He just an old country mountain preacher. He knocked on my door and he said, Eddie boy. I said, "Yeah, Brother Earl." He said, "Can I come in there?" I said, "Sure. Come on in." But I'm sound asleep. 5 o'clock in the morning, I just ain't a morning person. Brother Earl come in there and he said, "Lord just woke me up." He said, "I feel like Lord just come in here and pray for you." Knelt down by my bed, put his hands on my head and began to pray for God's power on my life and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and praying to God. Boy, I'm glad my paths crossed with that old man. Several weeks ago, they rolled a coffin down that aisle right there and they parked it right here in front of my pulpit. And I stood over the man who was a great blessing in my life. Knocked on my door when I was 4 years old. Led me to Christ when I was 19 years old. This place was packed out. Cars were parked all the way to town that way and all the way back that way. People were everywhere. Why? Because their lives were blessed. Only because they came in contact with J. Larry Bass. You say, "I know some people that didn't like him." For every one you know that didn't like him, I know 1,000 who did. People's lives were blessed because of him. And I hope someday, like Earl Hughes, like J. Bass, somebody can walk by where I'm laying and say, "My life was better because I knew him." Yeah. Let me ask you a couple of questions and I'm going to quit, I promise. I wonder if you died today. Listen, we've had a lot of funerals. We've been in a lot of funeral homes. Listen, I've been in funeral homes where families had to be literally pulled apart. I've been in funeral homes where the law had to set by. I have. The families were in such a mess. I was standing by a man's casket one day. I don't know what part of the family it was, but it had to be family because they'd already had everybody that wasn't family leave the room for that last prayer and the closing of the casket. And this guy walked by, looked in the face of this dead man and called him a SOB. Boy. Tells you how he was remembered. I don't think he meant Sonny, old boy. I don't believe. I really don't. We've been in funeral homes where they had to pull them apart, fighting like cats and dogs. Family. Boy, I've got a big old family. Come Thanksgiving, I don't know where we'll do it at this year, but there's usually 40 or 50 of us. Man, I hope they can come by. Walk by my casket, say, "Boy, I sure am glad God allowed him to be in our family. I sure am glad he was my nephew. I sure am glad he was my cousin. I sure am glad that was my brother. I'm glad that was my dad. I'm glad that was my uncle. Whatever the case may be, I want my life to have been a blessing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. There ought to be some people at your funeral that you work with. You see, those people in your family, that's kind of like Rahab's family. They were rejoicing that Rahab was part of their family in the end. Amen. Like Potiphar and Laban. Well, that was business deals right there. I wonder if there'll be some people you work with. You know, they say there's two people that know you the best. Your spouse and the one you work with. They know what you really are, amen? Because that's who you spend most of you. Probably most of you spend more time with your coworkers than you do your spouse. But I wonder how many people you work with will come by. Brother Jay had that sign business, him and Brother Greg. Stood up there at that funeral home, Jones Wynn. These people come through and I'd introduce myself and they say, oh, I knew Jay. I worked at Denise sign, whatever that. Oh, we're just here. People come. Just acquaintances. People that he had run into. One man said, I didn't know Jay very well, but every time I see him, he'd just brighten your day because he had such a smile on his face. Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. People were just blessed because they got to know him. Amen. Would your family be able to come by and say, thank God? He was part of my family. My life's been touched and enriched and blessed because I'm kin to him. It's a blessing to be able to say that about your family when they go, ain't it, Stacy? Amen. Somebody from your work, could they come by? Wow. There ought to be some that just come into contact with you. Maybe they didn't work with you. Maybe they wasn't kin to you. But somehow, like Paul and those on that ship, God just allowed your path to cross with somebody. There ought to be some under your influence that feel that way. Like the Egyptian that Joseph served. Listen, as we leave here tonight, let's let this be our prayer. God, make my life a blessing. Make my life a blessing. Every part of it, my spirit, my personality. Somebody told me one time, said, well, I just can't help it. That's the way I am. Yeah, you can. You ain't got to be a jerk. Amen. You don't got to be a jerk. You can be friendly. Amen. You can be friendly. Lord, I thought about this. I was thinking about it yesterday while we were in the parade. We was going down through there, and boy, I was down beside the bus, and I was high-fiving kids, and Josh was walking beside me and giving them candy, and we were just talking to people. I didn't know everybody I saw, but I hope everybody I saw knew us. I know there's some, when our preachers were on top of the bus preaching a little bit in the parade, I know there's some that said, here come the nuts from Happy Valley. But what about all those on the side that said, y'all are such a blessing? Yeah. What about all those on the side when Brother Freddie was preaching about sin and hell and they sitting on the sidelines by the railroad track saying, amen, preacher.
Yeah.
People that don't go here, people that don't even know us, but were encouraged because somebody was out serving God. What about the little lady who grabbed our face and prayed for us on the side of the road? Don't know her name, met her, never met her in her life. But she heard us on the radio and said, you've been a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. I hope Villarica can say one day, I'm glad Happy Valley moved to this town. I'm glad that church moved to this town. They've been a blessing. They've been an asset.
Amen.
To Villarica. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, if you would come and get us a song tonight. I don't even really know how to give the invitation after that. But Lord, make my life a blessing. Make somebody's life better just because I'm here. You say, preacher, you think you're all that? No, I don't, but God is. And if I'll allow Him to live through me, somebody can get a blessing. Brother Todd's going to sing a verse tonight. I don't even know how to tell you to pray. But maybe we could just ask God tonight, Lord, just make my life a blessing. Live through me in such a way that it'll make a difference in somebody else.
Whenever you're ready, Brother Todd, just go ahead. God, dealing with your heart, you come.